Good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 120, verses 6 and 7 will serve as our text this morning. Psalm 120, verses 6 and 7. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now let's read the entire context of our scripture this morning. All of Psalm 120. It's a relatively short psalm, only 7 verses in its entirety, as I'll be alluding to some of the context of the passage. A song of ascents. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And in its larger context, Psalm 120 is the first of 15 psalms entitled A Song of Ascents. Some of them name the author of David, Psalm 122, for instance. Some of them are anonymous, as in the psalm at hand. Traditionally, they would be sung by the Lord's people as they approached the temple. So you would have the people in their pilgrimage, if you will, going to seek God at the temple, singing a song of ascents. It is good for us to consider the words of the psalmist as we approach Christ Jesus, our Lord and our God, on this Lord's Day with the upcoming Christmas celebration in view. We're going to take our text in two parts. First, that the soul is afflicted by those who oppose peace. We're going to answer the question that naturally arises, who isn't for peace? And why would somebody not be for peace? The second main heading, which we're going to be looking at this morning, is that the desire of the Christian is to be, quote, for peace, after the manner of the psalmist. First, the soul is afflicted by those who oppose peace. And I'll submit to you that this is naturally so. This is the natural condition of sinful men and women. There are those who are inclined to war and to conflict. And here is the reason. We have it written in the book of Proverbs, that he who loves transgression loves strife. He who loves sin loves conflict and problems. And why is that? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us the answer. Because the carnal mind, that is the fleshly mind, the mind that is bent on rebellion against the Creator, the mind of one who is not a friend of God, but an enemy of God. There are two kinds of people in this world. There are friends of God, and there are enemies of God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Because the will is bent in direct opposition to the will of the Creator. This is all naturally so because of the sin nature. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. Perhaps you struggle within. The one who hates peace is yourself. Many times, and you tend to get restless and to self-destruct? Are you one of those who always seems to have a problem? You know, it's been said that 10% of the people have 90% of the problems. But this is simply not so. We all have issues, the issues which are the common lot of men and women that we have to deal with. Perhaps the problem is that you have not found the peace that Jesus Christ and He alone gives. The peace which passeth all understanding. The supernatural peace that cannot be attained through human effort, but can only be attained by receiving the gift of God, which first of all is salvation and justification, and secondly is received by receiving the sanctification which the Holy Spirit imparts. Perhaps you are one who is sitting here this morning saying, my soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace, and it's because of the battle which rages within. To you I say, your soul has dwelt too long in such a state. May you find freedom in Christ Jesus this morning. Perhaps, and I say this with some trepidation, some fear and trembling, that the battle rages within because you're not saved. Saved from what? What do I mean by salvation, right? That sounds like a bit too much Christianese for many folks. Saved from the wrath of God which abides on you as you fester and persist in your rebellious ways according to the desires of your carnal spirit. Cry out, friend, at once for God to change your heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Believe that Jesus Christ can do this. Behold the man, Christ Jesus, hanging on the tree, pierced through for you. And cry out, Lord Jesus, save me, a sinner. And be ye saved this morning. Only trust Him. Believing in faith and on the authority of God's Word, you can know. You can know. You can know that salvation has come to your heart. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. We read in our context this morning, woe is me that I dwell in Meshach, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Now Meshach and Kedar are representative of the pagan society that the believers in that day had to deal with. We too live in a pagan society, a society in which the secular mind, the depraved secular mind, wishes to remove every vestige of anything Christian in the culture. Perhaps the world is wearing you down. Perhaps the culture is wearing you down. Perhaps your family and your friends and the burden that you have for them this morning, the burden that you have for them in prayer, is wearing you down. Behold, what manner of psalm is this? But a song of ascents. A song of ascents. You're pilgriming upward to the place where God is, the place where communion with God can be found for your weary soul. And may your weary soul find times of refreshing in the journey. May your spirit be restored in the presence of God this morning. God dwells at the top of the mountain of your heart. Will you visit Him there? Again, it is written in the Word that if you're a believer, that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore God dwells therein. Only seek Him today. Find refreshment for your weary soul that has been rubbing elbows with Meshach and Kedar this past week. Our second point this morning is that the desire of the Christian is to be after the manner of the psalmist. It is to be for peace. Can you say with the psalmist, "I am for peace"? Well, we have a great and glorious example of one who lived a perfect life after this manner, saying, "I am for peace." And what is his name? What is his name? Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the world to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of what? The way of peace. The dayspring from on high has visited us, that we might find peace. His message as an earthly, in his earthly ministry, was one of peace. "These things I have spoken to you," he says to the disciples in the upper room. And these words resonate to Christians of all ages, even to you and I. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace." He died a violent death, that men may have peace with God. For he himself is our what? Our peace. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. This making of peace cost him something, yea, even everything. Above all, the agony of having all of the sin of the world cast upon he who knew no sin in a moment of time. And then, having risen from the dead, he said to his disciples, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Do you believe these things? The only way to peace with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there is room at the cross for you this morning. If you only believe, if you only trust him, then it would be rightly said of you that having been justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is for peace, so that you can be at peace. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called" what? Sons of God. Or children of God, you may have. Having received the perfect example, you too can strive to be for peace. Again, it is said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." Notice that Jesus left his peace for you. And if Jesus left it, that means it is here. That means it is available. That means it is within your grasp. Jesus does not leave things that we can't receive. Jesus does not give good gifts that we cannot apprehend. The world offers false peace. The peace of the world is opposed to true peace. This peace sought by carnal men seeks to leave God out, or seeks to find human means to achieving world peace. The only one who can bring world peace, friends, is in heaven. And his name is Jesus Christ. Many will seek to find world peace by spiritual books, or taking several different spiritual books that affirm conflicting truths and placing them side by side. There's no peace in this. The only peace for you, friend, is found at the foot of the cross. And it is through the blood of Christ Jesus that it is received. I'm going to offer you three closing exhortations with regard to common issues that arise, especially within families, and especially around Christmas time. Three exhortations from the book of Romans. All of these scriptures, as it is our custom, by the way, are written in the Sunday bulletin, which is on the table over there. All of the scriptures that have been quoted herein, and all of the scriptures that I'm going to allude to, a reference there, if you want to look these things up on your own, I urge you to do so. Be a Berean. Read the scriptures and investigate to see whether these things be true. Glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. Glory, honor, and peace to what kind of people? Everyone who works what is good. Apply this to yourself. Examine yourself and your own motives. Perhaps you are causing or contributing to problems in your life that rob you of peace, especially in your own relationships. Perhaps your actions are not consistent with bringing peace, because you're not working towards what is good. You're working towards your own agenda. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your other's eye. Before you go blasting your mother or father or sister or brother or child or, you know, aunt or uncle for their behavior, examine your own backyard. Secondly, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want to be a peacemaker? Be spiritually minded. Pay attention a little bit more to the things written in this book than to how many yards Stephen Ridley's going to run for today, or what have you, whoever your favorite guy, your favorite team, whatever they're doing. Pay a little bit more attention to God's Word and cheer for Jesus Christ with the same zeal that these folks who paint their faces up for their team do. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Take heed to renew your walk with God daily and guard your heart and mind. Ask God, are you pleased with my conduct? Is this something you can bless? And if you're not sure, take heed to yourself. Repent and go forward accordingly. Third closing exhortation this morning. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now every man is your neighbor, right? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he basically says, everybody. Everyone is your neighbor. Fellow believers are your brothers and sisters. Therein lies the distinction. So here we're talking about neighbors. We're talking about neighbors. Brothers and sisters, those of the household of faith, above all. Right, if you don't love your brother, like, are you really saved? Paraphrasing the Apostle John a little bit. He writes a couple of chapters about this. But the Apostle Paul puts it this way with regard to neighbors. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceable with what kind of men? People who are nice. People who are nice to you. Peaceable. People who are peaceably towards you. And also people who are not so nice. People who believe strange things. People who believe false things. People who have you set in their sights, readying their arrows that they might destroy you in your testimony. Those kinds of people too. Be a peacemaker actively and starve the fires of strife of their gasoline. Don't add any fuel and the fire will soon go out. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. May everyone in my hearing receive a double portion of your peace that passeth all understanding as they apply these things, these principles to their lives. May Jesus Christ and Him alone be glorified in our midst the remainder of a service and the remainder of the day. In Jesus Christ we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.